Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.beebly.com.
Listening to SOJC Radio, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and teaching the doctrine of Christ to the whole world. Listening to SOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found. Good morning, and welcome to SOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Good morning, and welcome to the January 11th, 2015 edition of FOJC Radio Church. I am David Carrico, and for the next hour, we are going to be studying the Word of God. So glad and so very thankful to have you all on board. This morning, we are going to have a lesson in Bible prophecy entitled, The Revelation of Jesus' Angel. The Revelation of Jesus' Angel. And we are going to be Star Trekking this morning, saying some things that you've never heard said before. And we're going to have some profound revelation from God's Word this morning. And I know that's going to be a real blessing to the body. And as we do, we're going to prepare our hearts to receive the Word this morning with a few moments of worship. Let's worship the Lord together.
All day through, a warring of the
against the news. And when I give up the struggle and admit my defeat, I ask my Lord Jesus, will you please make me new, Lord? Be my righteousness, make me new, Lord, so I can manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Has done me no good. I want to boldly stand for Jesus like I should. But I don't have the strength, Lord, to go where you lead. So I'll call on you, Jesus. You've got the power you need to make me new, Lord. My righteousness makes me new, Lord, so I can manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Tried to change myself, but it just can't be done. There's only one thing that I can do. Just give up my fighting and surrender to you. Let the Spirit flow through me until I am filled. And each day I live, I'll ask you still to make me new, Lord. Be my righteousness, make me new, Lord, so I can manifest the fruit of the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the chance to be together this morning, for the chance to worship you and study your word. Father, we thank you so much for every hungry heart that's listening in this morning. Father, we pray that you mightily meet the needs and the lives of those represented this morning, and that you help us to grow, Father. Help us to grow in wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of your Son, Jesus. And we give you the praise for everything good that happens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. Our lesson is titled, The Revelation of Jesus' Angel. Revelation 1 and 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, if you notice here, there's a fourfold process. The revelation comes from God the Father to Jesus Christ to the angel and then to John. And if you will notice here, Jesus calls this angel his angel. Now, all through the book of Revelation, we see this angel interpreting the symbols to the Apostle John. And this angel will actually take the Apostle John and take him into the spiritual realm. And the identity of this angel is never revealed in the book of Revelation. It never comes out and says who this angel is. But when you study the passages where this angel speaks, it's like all through the book of Revelation, this angel is dropping clues to who he really is. And when we follow these clues and do the detective work, we are going to have the revelation of who Jesus' angel really is, and it's going to have a profound impact upon us in many, many ways. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16, and the book of Revelation begins and ends with the mention of this angel. And this is why we can see that this identification of Jesus' angel lets us know that this interpreting angel all the way through is the same angel. Now in Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. And once again, Jesus identifies this angel as his personal angel. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. And the role of this angel is very important, because he is the one that testifies and interprets much of the symbolism in the book of Revelation to the Apostle John. And as we'll see, this angel also takes the Apostle John right into the spiritual realm. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And the word revelation means the unveiling of divine mysteries. And it's the unveiling of Jesus Christ, his person, and the depth of his character and his work as our great high priest. And it's also the revealing of many divine mysteries, one of those which is the revelation of Jesus' angel. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 19, and let's look at verse 9 and 10, and we're going to look at our first clue. And we've done this many times in different studies. When you believe that the Word of God is inerrant and infallible, and that the Word of God has the answer to all things in it, then we can just take the Word of God and do detective work and learn many, many mysteries from the Word of God. Now, Revelation chapter 19, verse 9 and 10. And he saith unto me, write. And here we see the angel speaking. And he saith unto me, write. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And here this angel is even telling John what to write. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now there's something here so profound that our mind will reject it, because it does not fit with everything we have been told about the way things should be. And what this angel actually says here is, I am of thy brethren. This angel identifies himself as a member of the human race. Now, also, in the scripture, now I always look at a lot of different opinions of what people say about scriptures, and as I studied this passage, a lot of commentators, or some anyway, they would say, well, the Apostle John here, he wasn't perfect, as indeed he wasn't, and here he mistook this, and he actually fell in to worshiping this angel. Well, I cannot accept that. The Apostle John with all he said about idolatry, who was now having the most profound experience of his long life with the Lord, he is not going to all of a sudden say, oh, there's an angel, he's just so beautiful, I'll think I'll worship him. No, that is not what's happening here. But what is happening here in Revelation chapter 1, the Apostle John had a vision of the risen Christ. You can read the description in the first chapter. He mistakes this angel for Jesus. That's exactly what's happening here. He is in the Spirit having a vision. He sees this angel. He thinks it's Jesus. And he mistakenly worships him. And immediately, the angel corrects him. Now, let's go to the Word of God. And let's see if indeed, and of course we know that the Bible is not in error, but let's do indeed go and see if these things are indeed possible, because it doesn't fit with our mindset. Let's go to Luke chapter 20, verses 34 through 36. Luke chapter 20, verses 34 through 36. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. So here the Word of God tells us that a resurrected man is equal to an angel. So if this is, and it is definitely, a man of thy brethren, so a resurrected man could be equal to an angel. That's what the Word of God says. Now, in Luke 24:39, the doctrine of Christ tells us something else. Luke 24:39, Jesus said, after he was risen from the dead, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Jesus, in his resurrected state, had a flesh and bone body. Now, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, we begin to learn things that make this very, very understandable. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So in our resurrected state, our resurrected body is going to be like Jesus' body, a flesh and bone body, and if our body is equal to the angel's body, well, we learn clearly from the Word of God that it is a flesh and bone body that will inhabit the eternal state. Here we have a body of flesh and blood. There, a body of flesh and bone. So this makes it understandable that a resurrected human in a glorified flesh and bone body would look very similar to Jesus, because Jesus is now the resurrected God-man at the right hand of the Father. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus allowed his glory to shine through. But when Jesus did not allow his deity to manifest in bright glory, he looked just like a human being, because he was fully God, fully man. The same is true at the right hand of the Father. When Jesus is not manifesting his glory, he would be recognizable to those that knew him when he walked the earth as the man Christ Jesus. He still has the nail prints in his hand. And the same will be true of us in our resurrected state. Those that know us while we are on earth, in our resurrected state, thank God it will be much improved, but we will be recognizable as the same people that we were when we were here, only in a glorified state. Now, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, it says also, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And what a glorious promise from the Word of God, that in our resurrected state, we will have a flesh and bone body in a glorified state, just like that of our Lord. And this is indeed, according to the Word of God, an absolute necessity. From 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50, the Word of God clearly states, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." It is the flesh and bone body, not the flesh and blood body, that will be the body that will allow us to live in that eternal state. Now, there is one more thing that I might mention in connection with this before we go on. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. And this is not going to be something I'm going to explore, but I think it's something worth mentioning before we go on. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, concerning the creation of Eve, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Now you and I would say, "Well, this person's my flesh and blood." But Adam says, "She's my flesh and bone." And I do not believe that Adam and Eve had blood in their body until they sinned. Now, this is something we could say a lot more about, but for the time being, we're going to leave it right there, and we're going to pursue the mystery of Jesus' angel. Now, if we have identified Jesus' angel as a resurrected man, we have a problem that we have to address. How do we have a resurrected man before the resurrection takes place? The Word of God tells us that when the Lord returns, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is not the rapture passage, it's the resurrection passage, the coming of the Lord passage, that when the Lord returns, the dead will rise. And we could look at scriptures like Daniel 12 and Hebrews 11:40 that tell us that the Old Testament saints will be resurrected at the same time the New Testament saints were. But let's look at something. There's some things we need to look at that will help us solve the mystery of Jesus' angel. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 23. Here the Word of God speaks of the order of the resurrection. And here it says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." So in the resurrection, there is Christ, the first fruits, and then when he returns, the general resurrection of the Old and New Testament saints, the wicked and the righteous. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51. And we are going to see that when Jesus rose from the dead, that there were some others that he took from the graves at the same time. Matthew chapter 27, and let's look at verse 51, a scripture you don't heard preached on a lot. Beginning in verse 51 of Matthew 27, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many." Now, that would be quite a stir, wouldn't it? And, by the way, for those that hold to a secret rapture, The resurrection of the body is the resurrection of the body. And if you notice here that the graves were opened, and you always see these rapture movies where it's a secret rapture, nobody sees nothing. And you know, here in the real resurrection, the graves are going to burst open and real bodies are going to be resurrected and changed. And there's certainly much more that we could say about that. Now, let's go to Luke, and here in this passage here, it doesn't name any of these people that were resurrected here. But we know for a fact that there were many that were resurrected with Christ, not all, but a first fruits, that were resurrected with Jesus right after he rose. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 9, and we're going to identify two of those. We can identify two of them from Scripture that we can say that we don't know really what time they were resurrected, and these two were resurrected prior to this time for very special reasons. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 9, verse 30 and 31. And this is speaking of the transfiguration. Luke chapter 9 and verse 30. And behold, there were with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, or Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And this is speaking of the transfiguration when Moses and Elijah appeared with Christ in the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, there's something here in the text that specifically tells us that Moses and Elijah had already received their glorified bodies. There's something very specific in the Greek and the English text. In verse 31, it says, who appeared in glory. That phrase, in glory, is a specific term applied to the resurrection body of the Christian. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to see this, an example of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 42 and verse 43. Verse 42 says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. There's that phrase again, in glory. That is the term used to describe the resurrected body of the Christian. And in Luke, when it tells us that they appeared in glory, that they were appearing in their resurrected bodies. Now, Moses and Elijah are two very special cases. We all would have to admit that. And we're going to understand why they were so special, hopefully by the time we're done this morning. But in the case of Moses, if we look at Jude chapter 9, there was something very mysterious about the death of Moses. Jude, verse 9. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude, and it's Jude, verse 9. Now, in Jude 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. And we can read from Scripture that when Moses died, the Lord himself buried him. And for some reason, the devil wanted Moses' body, and the Lord sent Michael the archangel to put a stop to that. Now, what the devil had in mind, we can only conjecture. I would think of things like either using his body as an idol or even trying to reanimate it, like he does with a Nephilim spirit or a devil of some kind. And whatever it was, the Lord gave Moses a resurrected, glorified body to stop the devil from whatever he was doing. And he probably did that right away. I can't say that, but I know that when Moses and Elijah were in the mount, they already had their glorified bodies. And for Elijah, we're going to get some clues as to why that might have been the case with him as we go on. Now, a lot of people would say, well, that proves that Moses and Elijah are the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. No, just the opposite. This proves that Moses and Elijah cannot be the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, because these two witnesses die in Revelation 11. And here we see that Moses and Elijah have already experienced that change and gone through received their glorified bodies. Moses died while he was on earth. Elijah was taken from the earth while he was still alive. But at some time, we see here from Luke 9, he received his glorified body. But in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." This verse not only does away with reincarnation, it also does away with the fact that either Moses or Elijah could be one of the two witnesses. It eliminates them. And in prior studies, I have already identified those two witnesses as Enoch and Melchizedek, and I still think that is solid and correct. Now, we are going to go to Revelation chapter 22, and we're going to read verses 6 through 9. Then we're going to take our first break. And this scripture is going to move our search profoundly in the direction of the prophet Elijah as being Jesus' angel. Now let's read this. Revelation chapter 22, verse 6 through 9. The scripture says here, "And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this book." "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things, and I heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel." And once again, if you notice, here the angel is speaking, but if you have a red letter edition, in verse 7, Jesus speaks. So John is in the spirit. He is hearing the angel speak to him, and then Jesus speaks. Then John thinks the angel is Jesus, and he hits the deck. But once again, the angel corrects him. And here we see how that Jesus and his angel will both be speaking to the Apostle John at the same time. And here again, John mistakes this angel once again for Jesus. And when you see how the dialogue intertwines here, you can really see how that could happen. Now in verse 8, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets." He gives a further clue to his identity here. Not only is he one of thy fellow brethren of the human race, but he was one of the prophets. Now, Moses was certainly a prophet, but Moses was known primarily as the great leader and the great lawgiver. But when you say prophet, when you say the quintessential prophet of prophets in the Old Testament, you think of the mighty man Elijah. So now Elijah goes to the top of our list for the identity of Jesus' angel. But we're not going to leave it to conjecture. We're going to follow the trail till we know the identity of Jesus' angel, and not just for the sake of knowing who he is, but for the sake of what it means to us. Now, we're going to take our break this morning, and we're going to be right back with a lot more on FOJC Radio Church.
You're listening to FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found. Thank you for being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUALABUSEFREE.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless.
We declare the kingdom of God is here.
You're listening to the all-new KBOU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.feebly.com.
Die. Oh, when I come today. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
Website at www.1blueraven.com.